Thank you, thank you, thank you. Welcome mergers to First Service. They meet at 13 hours after Second Service, so Second Service is usually their time. Thank God for the young people that Miracle Life is reaching right now. Both Impact and Merge are really at all-time highs as far as not just in numbers, but in the quality of ministry that's being delivered and the transformation that's happening in those lives. Amen? Sometimes people say, you know, young people are the future of the church. They are the church. They're part of our church. And so we thank God so, so much for what he's doing. Want to make mention, those of you that may remember, we haven't hosted a Global Leadership Summit at Miracle Life for quite a number of years. But it is in the country. Our dear friend, Bishop Fortune Mwiza Deliverance Church is hosting that. And so we've got incredible speakers. So it's Saturday the 7th. So Craig Rochelle, Albert Tate, Condoleezza Rice, pastors, marketplace leaders. And then we've got folks from Zambia, Professor Esther Munalu. I believe there's a sighting. Hello. She's one of the speakers, as well as I think it's Reverend or Pastor Sonny Zulu, as well as he is a businessman as well. Number of folks that will help you lead better where you are. And it's an incredible event. So it's one day. It's on Saturday. It's 300 kwacha. So if you are interested in going or you think you know somebody who might be, raise your hand. We've got a brochure that we want to put into your hand. QR code on that, okay? If you don't know what that is, ask somebody under the age of 40 that you know. They'll tell you what to do. You can actually register. It'll take you to a site where you can do all your registration and payment, and you can do that today, all right? So just leave your hand up. Just leave your hand up, and the ushers will get that to you. This is really a wonderful equipping time. When we had the privilege of hosting this for a number of years, we helped in the beginning when it was at other churches and stuff, and it has really, it's impacted my life, Pastor Haley's life, and our staff and leaders in really, really great ways. Some of the things that we're doing are as a result. A couple hands over here. Just leave your hand up, all right? And I know we're running out of brochures. But right here in the front. Over on the side here, my right, your left, ushers, okay? Just leave them up, okay? If you leave them up, it's okay. It's a Pentecostal church. They'll just think you're praising the Lord anyway, okay? All right. Isn't the Lord good? My wife, Pastor Haley, has taken her mom back to the States. So my mother-in-law has left the building. They used to say that about Elvis, but... it's been such a blessing to have her. And so PH will be joining 29 ladies at Kindle the Flame in Tulsa. And Pastor Haley's going to be one of the speakers on Friday, I think. So that's going to be a blessing. All right. Turn with me to Exodus 15. Exodus 15. We're going to talk today about our worship. Our worship. And it is a subject that is really from cover to cover in the Bible. And people responded to God for who he is and what he did throughout the Bible. It's one of the few things that we do now that we will also be doing in heaven. Jesus made it clear that we won't get married in heaven. Those of you that stood up today, enjoy your earthly marriage because that's going to be the tenure of it. All right? So there's no marriage in heaven. We don't raise kids in heaven. So there are a lot of things that are very unique that just to our earthly experience. But worship of God is one of the things that we begin to do here through a glass dimly, there face to face. And so it's one of the things we see in the book of Revelation, the new heaven and new earth. And in Exodus 15, this is one of the earliest accounts of where the people of God worshiped him. And so for hundreds of years, 400 years, God's people had been held captivity in Egypt against their will, and God had delivered them. And by supernatural power, with the leadership of Moses and Aaron, they left. And then Pharaoh changed his mind, remember? And so he chased them. The biggest army in the world was chasing thieves. Well, not thieves, sorry. Slaves. All right. They weren't thieves. They were carrying all the riches of Egypt with them, but they weren't carrying swords. They were not accomplished warriors. And so they were in big trouble. And so there was the Red Sea. And so God parted the Red Sea. They walked on dry ground, and Pharaoh's army was then swallowed up, because the Red Sea was parted for the people of God, not for Pharaoh's army. And so they got to the other side. So not only had they escaped Egypt, but now they look and their enemies and their chariots and their horses are floating in water. How many know that's a good day? That's a happy day. And so in Exodus 15, they paused and they said, I will sing to the Lord who has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God and I will praise him. My father's God and I will exalt him. How many of you sang that song growing up? We in our church, we sang that song verbatim. There's a nice, wonderful chorus. All right. Later, Miriam picks up her tambourine and she adds to this song. And so the people of God are singing basically two things. And really, worship is this: who God is and what he has done. Who God is and what he has done. And that is what we ascribe to him. And that's what we give to him. So we are to cultivate this in our life. And so we worship together in a building. We worship together and we sing to God and we praise God. But worship, what we do at church really is, you could say, it's practice for home. All right. Do you remember Paul and Silas when they were beaten and they were in the middle of the Philippian jail and it was midnight? Do you remember what they did? They praised and sang praises to God right in the middle of a jail. There was not a choir. They were not able to put on their favorite worship artist. They just had something hidden in their heart. And they were singing loud enough that the Bible says that the prisoners heard them. And while they were singing, the earthquake happened. And they were released. And they evangelized the Philippian jailer. He told them, don't kill yourself. Let's go to your house. And all of them got saved and baptized. All right. So worship is a part of our, it's a part of our life. It's a part of our lifestyle. Now, these people, the children of Israel, that watched the supernatural hand of God do this amazing thing. And so who God is and who he said he was manifested in their life. Now, these very same people made a different decision along their journey. So they're on their way to the promised land, and God tells Moses, come up to the mountain, and he was speaking with him, he's given him the Ten Commandments, and while he's up there, he's talking to God, something happens, all right? Look at Exodus 32. Exodus 32, verse 4. So they were getting impatient. They said, where did this Moses go? We don't know if he's coming back. And they said, we want to worship something. So they told Aaron, and Aaron was the chief priest. So he was the presiding bishop. Okay? He was the senior pastor. He should have known better. But he gave in to the whim of the people, And they said, we want to have a God like the Canaanites have, a God that you can see, a God you can touch, a God that is an idol made of human hands. And so they, instead of worshiping God, they wanted to copy their neighbors. And so he said, well, everybody bring your gold. And the ladies brought their gold earrings. All right. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Unbelievable, isn't it? And you know, you and I can say, ah, those people. All right, but today is not a matter of pointing fingers at them, but we're going to apply this to our life, aren't we? So when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation, said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord, this new God. Then they rose early on the next day, offered burnt offerings, and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up early to play. All right. And another version says they copied the pagan worship of their neighbors. Okay, so this was not godly. This was not good. And this is where God interrupts Moses and says, for the first time, he always referred to the people as, God would call them my people. Remember? Bring my people out of Egypt. When God brings this up, he says, Moses, your people. He's on the road to disownership. Okay? And he wants to destroy them. And Moses intercedes for them, and the Lord changes his mind. That's an interesting story, isn't it? Okay. So what they did is they ignored God and they replaced God. Everybody say ignore and replace. And so another word would be to exchange. They moved God out of the way and they replaced God, Yahweh, as he was known to them, with a God crafted by human hand. Now, gold, God is the one who put the gold in the earth. So there wasn't anything inherently wrong with the gold, but gold is not meant to be worshipped. Now, a calf is something that God created, isn't it? And so a calf is not inherently wrong. And it was both gold and a calf was given to us by a good God. But they replaced God with something that they created for themselves. And we could even say created things. All right. Now, we can say, oh, boy. That is so weird that they did back then. Well, no, this is happening every day. This is happening every day. And Paul, in his introduction to the church at Rome, he takes the first 2.5 chapters to show us all, we need a Savior. We need a Savior. And he begins, and he talks about groups of people today that are exchanging God and ignoring God and then worshiping something else in God's place. Okay? So look at Romans 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Somebody says, Pastor, I thought this was about worship. I don't really like that verse. Well, you have to understand that God is who he is, everything he is at the same time. And this is describing God's role as the judge of the earth. God is the righteous judge of the earth. And so he was and is and will be. And that is a part of his nature. And so that's describing here, verse 18, that God is a God of justice against ungodliness and unrighteousness. Verse 19. Now, why is this happening? Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Did the children of Israel, had they seen God's hand? Had he shown himself to them? He certainly had. Does he show himself to people today? Absolutely he does. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. Everybody say clearly seen. Does he have invisible attributes? Yes. Are they clearly seen? Absolutely. And one way where they're clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There is no way jacaranda trees happen by accident. Amen? There is no way that Victoria Falls happened by accident. It is the creation of a glorious God. And he made this earth and he put us in it. It's not a mistake. The fact that our air sustains us and gives life to our blood and what we exhale, then the grass and the trees grow. And there's no other planet, no other moon, no other place in the entire universe that can sustain life. People say, well, maybe it was a big bang. Yeah, it was a big bang. God said it, bang, and it happened. Amen. It was a big bang. All right. Handcrafted by God. Clearly seen. All right. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. So they did not recognize God. They did not glorify God. They were not thankful. What did they do? They exchanged. They replaced. This is what man does. But became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Verse 22. Professing to be wise, they became fools. You can understand 2023 with this verse alone. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Knowledge apart from God, knowledge apart from recognizing God, unplugging from the Creator. All right? Verse 23, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. So, ignoring God, not recognizing God, not giving him glory, not being thankful, what does man do? Exchanges. Because you and I, every person on planet Earth, is pre-wired by God to worship. Anywhere you go in the world, on a little airplane, on a canoe, if you find people that are cut off from civilization and no one has ever gotten to them, they will be worshiping something. The sun, the moon, each other. Right? And even in our, you know, our technological society, and where people have ignored God, a lot of the world has ignored God. They are still worshiping something. Louis Giglio put it this way: at the center of your heart is a throne, and whatever's on it is who you worship. Okay, Some people worship themselves. It's a lot easier to do. It's called, the technical word is narcissism. Okay? And then they become politicians. And then the world's in big trouble when that happens. Okay? Or pastors. The world's in really big trouble when that happens too. All right. So, do you see this? Ignore God and don't worship Him. We will always replace Him with something. Replace Him with something that is not God. A created thing, an animal, stuff, money, a career, another person, your parents, your culture. Something other than God you bow down to. And that's the center of your life and your allegiance. And when this happens, so this Romans 1 talks about three examples of this. And then the sad thing is what the final response of God. God gives them over. To what? To their choice. To their choice. Do you know that's really what hell is? People who ignore God their whole life, God is not going to take them kicking and screaming to an eternity with Him when they have rejected Him their entire earthly life. Hell is an extension of man's rebellion to ignore God. Because in hell, there is no God. And it becomes now permanent. It becomes permanent. All right. So, you and I worship the God of the Bible. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The triune God. Right? And the God of the Bible has revealed Himself to us through His Word. My goodness, has He revealed Himself through His Word. From cover to cover. Now, as we walk from Genesis to Revelation, that light gets brighter and brighter. And so you and I, in the light of Jesus, in the light of the new covenant, we have an amazing amount of light to see who God is and then to respond to Him, giving Him glory, giving Him worship, and giving Him our thanks. So, and again, it comes down to these two things, who God is and what He has done. If, and maybe because I was preaching this sermon and I was listening to the songs we were singing today, that's what they were filled with, right? You're faithful. Thank You for Your salvation. Lord, You've been good. Amen. At Miracle Life, we don't sing a lot of songs about my feelings. And feelings have their place, but you having feelings is not worship. Okay, it's proclaiming who God is and what He has done. Let's look at a couple examples here. Psalm 105, verse 5. Psalm 105, verse 5. Remember His marvelous works which He has done, His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. So remember, meaning you can forget. So in the Old Testament, that covenant was an outside covenant. There were bells and smells. There was gold and altars and animals and blood. And you would go to Jerusalem different times of the years for festivals. And those festivals would always help you remember. It would help you remember. Okay? And because in the old covenant, we were not yet filled with the Holy Spirit. We were not yet born again. Our spirits had not yet become alive. All right. So remember. And so there was a way that the people of God could remember. Many of these psalms, you were supposed to put those to memory. And you would say them and sing them together when the people of God would come together. And so when you look at people like Stephen, when he was under the gun and he hadn't prepared a sermon, oh, what a sermon he had in the book of Acts when he was being persecuted. And you know where he quoted from the most? Psalms. All right. Psalms is the most quoted book of the Old Testament into the New Testament. All right. Psalm 96:3, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. So what got Israel into trouble time and time again is that they forgot. They ignored. They exchanged. All right. They didn't put God in the place of their heart and their life and their lifestyle. All right. They allowed present stuff to get in the way of who God was. All right. So we are commanded throughout the Bible, praise the Lord. Praise God. Look at Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Just leave that scripture up. What an amazing description of what we do in our covenant. All right. Therefore, by him. All right. So this is Hebrews 13. And so the author of Hebrews has taken chapter after chapter after chapter about who Jesus is as our better high priest, who offers better blood, his blood, who and brings us into a better relationship with God. So it's by Jesus, the Bible in another place says, through him, we continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. So in the Old Testament, you would bring a grain offering or a heap offering. There were offerings that were not meant for atonement for your sin. It was just meant as a way to thank God. You remember David and Solomon, there were times where they just got so in love with God. They just started, they just had sacrifices going. All right. It wasn't because of their sin. That was just a way of expressing. So what is our sacrifice of praise to God? Well, we have a definition here. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. All right. So it means you have to open your mouth. Okay. We don't send God happy thoughts. Lord, I'm just giving you unspoken praise. Well, no, that there's no such thing as unspoken praise. The fruit of our lips, we give him thanks. All right. And so Jesus gave us an introduction to this. And turn with me to John 4. He met a Samaritan woman at the well. And ladies, if you were at the ladies' conference, you saw an incredible video of this from The Chosen. Wonderful depiction of the Gospels and Jesus. And these interactions that he had with people. And so this woman was coming in the middle of the day because all the other ladies came at the beginning of the day. She did not want to see people. She was living in shame. She had all kinds of things in her past and her present. And so there she is, and she has this encounter with Jesus. And the Samaritans in the north had a different temple. They had a different way of worshiping God. They were the Jews that Jesus interacted with. They would see the Samaritans as kind of half-breed Jews. All right. How many know, pretty much in every place I've ever been around the world, there's always, you could say, those people. Okay, I have to be real careful right now. Okay. I was in a certain part of Zambia one time with a pastor, and we were in a conference, and we were talking about the Good Samaritan. Jesus turned the bad guy into a hero in his story, and then the big shot Jews into the bad guys. How many of Jesus loved to just kind of dig around, all right? So I said, you know, in this part of Zambia, who are the Samaritans? Who are kind of looked down on? He said, well, everyone except us. Okay. I won't say which part of the country it is, all right? If you know, You know. Okay. All right. Just keep looking straight. Okay. But so there was this argument and there was this kind of hostility. And then she was saying, you know, where should we worship? Are you guys right? Are the Jews right? Where are we supposed to worship? And then Jesus talks about something that is inaugurated now, John 4:23. Yet a time is coming and now come. Everybody say now. When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. So, is it Samaria? Is it Jerusalem? Is it this temple? Is it that place? He said, and Jesus kind of used that play of words. He said, no, there's a new place. It's called the place, spirit and truth. It's of the heart. It's of the heart. What does the New Testament tell us? Where is the temple of God these days? You are the temple of God. Collectively, we are the house of God. For 20 years, I've tried to ban this term about this building, that no one is ever supposed to call it the house of God. It's completely unscriptural. This is not the house of God. You are the house of God. Okay? Because some people say, oh, you know, that person is, you know, they've defiled the house of God. No. They defiled the house of God 2 days ago before they got to this building. Okay? Hello? When we lived in South Africa for 10 years, especially the little towns, I don't know if they still have these signs, but you drive along and there was always Church Street or Kirk Street, and before you, there was always the kind of the main church there, and it would say, silence, church. So you can just live like the devil, but when you walk on Church Street, put your cigarette away, you know. Reverence the house of God. Mm-mm-mm. Reverence your body. Reverence your life. Okay, and then we worship God in spirit and in truth. So of the heart, accurately, truthfully. What's the truth? Who God is and what He has done. Okay, from our spirit. Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Okay, so there's a perspective in our worship, and it's always in view. Another translation says, in light of God's mercies. One of the things we see from the Apostle Paul is he never forgot that he was saved. He never forgot who saved him. He never forgot who he used to be. And every morning I wake up and I realize my wife is still here and hasn't left me in the middle of the night. That is in view of God's mercies. Coming from a family with 5 divorces collectively between my 2 parents. All right? What I knew about marriage was like from the movies. Okay? Like I didn't know what you're supposed to do in a marriage. And so I was a high risk husband. Sure. But he saved me. He saved me. He took out a heart of stone and gave me a heart of flesh. And so, and not because I've got 21 good husband tips. All right, I do. But it's because something happened to my heart. He changed me. Amen. All right? So it's in view of God's mercy. It's not in view of you. It's not in view of you. I heard a pastor say this. Don't let what's wrong with you keep you from worshiping what's right about God. Don't let what's wrong about you keep you from worshiping what's right about God. Amen. Very next verse, Romans 12:2. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in without even thinking. This is the Message Bible. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. All right. So worship helps us be God conscious. It helps us fix our attention on Him. Because maybe you come to church, or maybe when you go into your prayer closet or wherever you are experiencing God and worshiping Him, there's other things that have your attention. Your kids, your family, money, bills, problems, job situations. And it's not that those things go away, but we say, no. Right now, I am fixing my attention on God. I worship Him. All right. And so I'm not others conscious. I'm God conscious. So one of the things we see in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, is that worship has been moved from a physical temple to our heart and our lips. Okay. That is where and how we worship God. So in a very, very real sense, I used to sing this song, and it's more old covenant based, but we would sing this growing up. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. So we usually sing that one of the first songs when we get to church. I will enter. Why did you leave His gates? See, part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, He is now God with us. Jesus said, I'll send you another comforter. He shall be with you and He shall be in you. I like what the Anglicans say. He who imparts does not depart. I could shout in the Anglican church over that one. All right. So he doesn't depart. He is with us. All right. So I'm not entering. Okay. So we don't have places for you to wash your hands and wash your face and to prepare yourself for worship. No, you're worshiping all the time. We just do it together at 8 o'clock or at 10:30. All right. We do it in connection groups. You do it on your own. All right. So there's a new place, spirit and in truth. Jesus is our high priest, meaning I don't have to go through a person, all right? The Reformation, Martin Luther, one of the things he said was, there is the priesthood of the believer, meaning you don't need a middleman to get you to God. They don't open a portal like the Avengers, okay? No. Through, what did Hebrews 13 tell us? Through who? Through Jesus. Through Jesus, we offer praise. We offer the fruit of our lips. All right. So we are a kingdom of priests. All right. So let's just apply this to today in our life. All right. Number one, let's, you and I, as Miracle Life, or if you're visiting wherever you go to church, let us put a higher value on singing together. Let's put a higher value on singing together. So the praise team that's up here and the people in the band, they are not designed to entertain you. All right. And they are there to help you sing. All right. And obviously it's usually easier to follow someone singing who can sing, right? So we have people who can sing and who can play instruments, and in the Old Testament they did that skillfully, all right? But it's not meant for entertainment. It's not meant to entertain us. It's not meant to give you the feels. I felt that. I don't know what you felt. But anyway, it's all it is so that we can sing together. We lift up our voices to God. So for some here, and I realize we've got new folks since COVID, and we've had different things coming and going. Some here, you need to put an adjustment in your lifestyle to be at Miracle Life at 7:55 and not 8:15. Okay. Oh, but Pastor, the traffic. There is no traffic on a Sunday. Half of Lusaka is hungover. Okay. The pubs are more busy than churches in our city. Okay. Half of the city is hungover. There is no traffic. Oh, but Pastor, once I get here, you know, it takes a while. Yeah, it does. All right. And without our traffic team, it would be even worse. Okay. But follow them. Get here early. Get your kids into M Kids. And be here at 7:55 with a smile on your face, with joy in your heart. Okay. And I'm allowed to say this because I'm a permanent resident. I've been here 20 years. There is no such thing as Zambian time. There is no such thing. Do you know why? Because Zambian time turns to international time at the airport. Zambians are not late to planes. Why? Value. Value. Importance. It means something to me. So I get there early because it's important. When I get to church at 8:15, I am telling everyone at Miracle Life, I don't care about worshiping God. This is no big deal to me. Oh, but it is a big deal. No, no, no. I can see your faith by your works, James says, right? So don't get mad. Just make an adjustment. All it means is leaving 15 minutes earlier, 20 minutes earlier. That's all. It's so easy to implement this. So do this for yourself. Do this for your kids. But also do it for your neighbors here at Miracle Life. Because you know what? They're worshiping God. And they're enjoying God. And then you say, excuse me. Pardon me. Excuse me. Sorry. Hello. You didn't even greet me. No, I'm not greeting you. I'm greeting Jesus, the Savior of my soul. My attention is on Him and not you. My dear friend, Bishop Imakondo at Bread of Life. One time he just locked the doors. Locked the doors. Okay, so don't make me go bishop on you. All right. All right, hallelujah. So value, value. Secondly, and here's what I'm saying. Everything I've learned about worship that I incorporate into my marriage, into my family, when I'm praising God in my car. Everything I learned about worship, I learned at church first. I learned it among the people of God so that I could bring it home. Okay? So, connect your heart to God. Sing. Sing. Okay, well, Pastor, I don't really like all the songs. Let me let you in on a little secret. Neither do I. Okay? So we're not trying to play top tens. We have a variety of songs. We've got people from different parts of the world, different generations. We try to keep a happy middle somewhere there. All right. And so just sing, sing, lift up your hands. Kind of New Testament of the heart, fruit of your lips. And we see over and over, lift up your hands. Amen. And then look for entertainment elsewhere. Look for entertainment elsewhere. Okay? So this afternoon, I've on my recorder, I've got eight hours of sport taped from yesterday. 8 hours. Glory. All right. So That's entertainment. That's not worship. And let's not mix the two of them, all right? And let's let this be a part of our lifestyle. And if we're having a worship problem, it's very likely we've exchanged something. We've exchanged something. Okay? So maybe you have an idea. Well, Pastor, you know, if I'm really honest, I come to church because I feel like I'm punching my ticket. It's kind of socially responsible. You know, I want to bring the family. And so it really doesn't kind of matter. As long as I get there, you know, I'm in church, good. No, it's so much higher than that, friends, to worship God. In Acts chapter 13, they had set aside, they were ministering unto the Lord. They were ministering unto the Lord. The Holy Spirit said. The Holy Spirit moves where people are worshiping Him. And I absolutely believe the next 5 to 10 years, Miracle Life, we need to see more manifestations of the Holy Spirit in our midst. Well, Pastor, we just want you to get more anointed. I agree. But there's another component of that. It's when we are worshiping God together with one voice, same place. Not at 907, not at 921. Okay. Amen? Let's make the heart adjustment. Let's let God do this. And then to close, French philosopher Blaise Pascal said this. There are only two classes of persons that can be called reasonable. Those who serve God with all their hearts because they know Him, and those who seek God with all their hearts because they do not know Him. Well, thank God, most of us do know Him. So what's our part? To seek God with all of our heart and to worship Him. Amen? Father, we love You so much. Thank You that You created us in such a way to respond to You, to know You, and to give You thanks and to praise Your name. Because who You are and what You do has never changed, God. Never changed. And so it's eternal. God, this world that we live in, this life that we have, there's so many things that are changing. Thank You that You are the immortal God, the immovable God, the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. Thank You that there's something in our life that never changes, and it's You. And for all of eternity, we'll know You and worship You and give You glory. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We love You so much. With every head bowed, every eye closed, maybe you're in the second part of what we just read here, that maybe you don't know God. But maybe you're here today because you are seeking God. There was a man that came to Jesus at night. He was a little bit scared. He was very religious, had been brought up in the church of his day. And he wanted to know more about Jesus. He wanted to know about following Jesus. And Jesus said, "You must be born again." That means there's got to be a change on the inside. See, God makes us alive. And when He does that, He adopts us and brings us into His family. He removes us from the kingdom of darkness where we were born into, where Satan has kingship and rulership. And He brings us into the kingship of His Son, Jesus, where He rules and reigns with goodness over our life and forgiveness and grace. If you're here today and you say, "Pastor, I have never received Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior." Maybe you realize I'm still seeking Him. Well, guess what, friend? The seeking can end today. He's findable. He loves you. He's made Himself available to you. The Holy Spirit's dealing with your heart. Maybe you're in that process of, "I was raised a Christian. I walked as a Christian, but man, Pastor, I realize I've done some exchanging. I've replaced God. I have ignored Him. And what's happened is your heart is becoming hardened. There's a movement away from God. The prodigal son did that. The book of Hebrews warns us about that. But you say, Pastor, I'll be honest, it's really already happened in my life. But I realize today, I need to put Jesus back in the middle of my heart. I need to come back where I walk with Him. Anyone here at all, you say, Pastor, that's me. I need to be born again. I need to come from a faraway place. I need the joy of my salvation restored. If that's you, simply raise up your hand. Say, that's me, Pastor. That's me. We want to pray. We want to watch God do a miracle in your life. New spirit, a new heart. Anyone at all, you're important to God. Your destiny is important to Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we bless the Lord. Anyone at all before we pray? All right. Can we all stand to our feet? Can we all stand to our feet? So let's just put this into practice right now. And this would be, and obviously in church we sing together and we do those kinds of things, but I'm not going to lead you in worship, and Robbie doesn't have a microphone, and we're good. But let's just lift up our hearts to the Lord. Let's lift up our hands in the sanctuary. And let's thank Him for who He is and what He has done in your life. Father, I thank You that You are my Father, that You adopted me, that in my Father's house there's a place for me. And Jesus, that You prepared that place, that my name is written in heaven, that my sins are washed away, that the Holy Spirit abides in me and is my helper and is my comforter, and He is my guide, and He is the Spirit of grace who empowers me. Oh, He gives me wisdom. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Father, thank You for taking care of me. Thank You for watching over me. Thank You for keeping my soul. Hallelujah. Thank You for giving me a hope and a future in Jesus and because of Jesus. Just lift up your voice. Let those around you know that you're praising the Lord. Oh, we love You, Lord. We love You, Lord. We love You, Lord. Oh, for You are good, and Your covenant kindness endures forever towards us, towards me, towards my family, towards my kids. Your blessing upon 1,000 generations, God. Oh, we love You, Lord. Oh, we love You, Lord. Paul said this. He said, I will sing and pray with the understanding. He said, I'll also pray and sing in the Spirit. Meaning one was with your mind, the other is in the Spirit. The Bible says when we pray in tongues, we pray the perfect will of God. So let's just sing in other tongues. Let's sing in the Spirit. Let's worship Him. The Bible says when we pray in other tongues, we give thanks well from our spirit to God. Oh, Ramashkede, Sombrosete, Lamanzede, Sombro, just lift up your voice. Just lift up your voice in that heavenly language. Sombrosete, Lamande, we give You thanks, we give You praise. Sombrosetele, Zambrobosonde, Kamrabanze, Hallelujah. Sende kalamana neshe. Hallelujah. 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 So promosete. Zandedidishke. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe some of you in this place, you're saying, oh, Pastor, this time is too short. You're right. But I want to commission you. I want to commission you to take this home with you. To take this home with you. And Robbie can't come with you. But there's a number of guys, there's a Nigerian guy on YouTube that just plays wonderful anointed piano. Sometimes I just put it on and just begin to pray and praise the Lord. And let me read this scripture to you. Let me read this scripture to you. Because there's some of you in this place, this is where your answers are going to come. You need some answers in your life. There's direction. Acts 13, verse 1. Now in the church at Antioch, and list them, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. So God had called them. He spoke when they made time. And it says they fasted, meaning that this was on purpose that they got together to seek the Lord. All right. So do that in your home. Do this in your family. Take a day. Take an afternoon. Amen. If you're up, the old timers many times would just get up in the middle of the night. And when they would call it, you know, watching in the nighttime. Seek the Lord. Pray. Worship Him. And watch the answers come that you need. Watch the answers come that you need. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Pastor Dan, just in my heart, answers. Answers from heaven. Answers from heaven for you. Answers from heaven for your kids. There's a lot more chapters. A lot more chapters that God is writing in your life and through your life. Many, many more chapters. Many more chapters. Answers are coming. Answers are coming by the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God. Some, I believe the Lord is saying, some you have and some you need. And they're on their way. Hallelujah. Let's just thank the Lord. Let's just lift up our hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we reverence you, Lord. We reverence you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're gonna dismiss the service, but if you wanna, there'll be our care team will be up here. If you have a need in your life, if you need someone to pray with you, pray for you, you're facing a difficulty, sickness in your body. But if you just want to say, you know, I just want to keep praising the Lord. I just want to keep praying. Just come up here. These stairs are meant to be stairs, but you can just turn them into an altar bench and just come and seek the Lord if that's what you'd like to do. All right. Before the next service comes. Amen. Robbie, can you stay around a little bit and just play for us? Amen. Father, we love you today. Thank you. Thank you for instructions for your word, Lord. Thank you that we can make adjustments, Lord. We can make adjustments. And Father, I'll make the adjustments, Lord. And I'll take the time to put you first. And Lord, give you the best time, Lord, to seek you and to hear from you, Lord. We love you. We bless you. In your name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you so much. You are dismissed. You can have a seat. The ushers are going to dismiss us from the back to the front. Again, if you need prayer, just come forward. Or if you want to just continue to seek the Lord, you're welcome to do that. God bless you.